Earlier this spring, Jeff Wilson retired as Weld County Farm Service Agency Executive Director, and replacing him was former Morgan County FSA's Jeff Rasmussen. Jeff, welcome inside the barn, and first of all, tell our listeners more about your background, your education, your prior work after school, and what led you to your current position as FSA Weld County's new Executive Director.
Thanks for having me on, Brian, first of all. I grew up in Southeast Longmont, native of the Longmont area, grew up on a farm, so got some agriculture experience. After high school, went to Adams State University in Alamosa, got a business degree in finance and economics. After graduation, went home and farmed for 20 years there, Brian. Most of the farms were in Boulder County. Brother and I farmed together and needed more and more land, and that was hard to come by. So at that point, figured it was time to make a career change, jumped into FSA, went into the COT program, County Office Trainee program, went through that, got certified, and ended up in Fort Morgan in Morgan County. Spent the last 10 years as the CED in Morgan County. Thoroughly enjoyed Morgan County. It was a great county. Jeff Wilson retired here in Weld, and with some encouragement, applied, and here I am. Wonderful county committee we have here in Weld County. Interviewed with them. They offered me the position, and I took it. So still live in Longmont, so still relatively close, still actively involved in farming. Grow malting barley for Coors, sugar beets, alfalfa, wheat, and corn. So growing up on the farm, we had a small sheep feedlot, about 1,200 head. Today, we have 30 ewes that we lamb out and had pigs, farrow to finish operation, 35 sows. So that's kind of my background there, Brian. So.
Well, it sounds like you've been involved in everything and are still involved in everything. And how about 4-H and FFA background? Anything in that regard?
I have two daughters, Jennifer and Jaylen. We was in the beef barn and the pig barns at Boulder County and went to state fair. We had our own little hog operation that we farrowed our own show pigs. And you know, in my opinion, we were successful. Never won the big show, but we were always, you know, a competitor, so that was good. So very familiar with that. I got to wait about 6-7 more years. Got a little granddaughter now, so I got to wait for her to, you know, get some age on her so we can get back into it. So
yeah, bring that into the conversation because we're right in the middle of county fair season, and just next month it'll be the Colorado State Fair. So we're going to be trying to help out as many county fairs as we can from the barns perspective because this COVID situation is definitely a challenge. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Congratulations once again on our new position, and really, I appreciate you taking time to visit with me this morning. And you know, agriculture, as I mentioned, as well as many other industries and businesses, including the Farm Service Agency, has had a lot to deal with over the past several months, including, of course, the elephant in the room, the coronavirus pandemic. Jeff, how exactly has the Farm Service Agency, and in particular, the Weld County office staff, been operating under these restrictions? And because it's really not just business as usual, is it?
No, you're absolutely right on that, Brian. We were restricted to how many employees we can have in the office. Part of the employees are teleworking. Part of them are here in the office right now. We're open to the public, but our doors are closed. So the way we're doing things, Brian, is through the phone, through email, U.S. Post office, mailing stuff out. We are allowing producers to come by the office and drop stuff off. They'll call and we'll go outside in the parking lot and retrieve paperwork. Let's just say, for instance, acreage reporting here, Brian. Producers are pretty well done planting for the year, so we're reporting acres right now. We're asking the producers to call the office, and then at that point, we're touching base with them, asking if we can email their maps out. And then on that, they can write on the maps the stuff we do, the crops that were planted in the fields, intended use, acres, shares, whether they split it with a landlord or something like that, plant dates, and whether it's irrigated or not. And then in return, they're either emailing that or mailing it back to us. And then at that point, we're data loading the information into the system. And then we're generating the 578, and then we're mailing or emailing that back out to the producers. It's a lengthy process, so it's a lot of frustration. So there's a lot of paperwork coming in and out of the office.
So on the exit reporting, is it something producers need to contact FSA to initiate, or are you guys starting that on your own?
No, that's something that the producer needs to contact the office and initiate. That's way.
And what's the deadline for acreage reporting, Jeff?
Okay, now the acreage reporting typically is July 15th. What they've done is, and after the July 15th deadline, there's a late file fee, Brian. It's $46 per farm. Under this COVID situation that we're dealing with, they've extended it to the 15th of August without a late file fee. Okay, so producers, I encourage you to contact your local FSA office and initiate that acreage reporting process.
Okay, so in the case of a producer that's just a landowner, but they got somebody else farming their ground, who's the one that has to file the acreage report?
Most of the time, Brian, it's going to be the producer. Producer's got to report the acres. Okay. So, and what they're going, what's going on out there on the farm. So it's the producer that initiates that. So we just ask the producers to have a little patience with the county offices just under these circumstances. There's twice the work involved just because of not being able to have the producer come into the office and sit down and ask questions and explain things to them.
So the landowner, they'll still receive something in the mail then once the producer's filed and you guys have started that process?
On that, the tenant farmer will notify the landowner that everything's taken care of, or, you know, as far as the producers initiating the acreage reporting, Brian, and then everything pretty much gets done, and the landowner pretty well relies on the producer to take care of that.
And I know we're going to talk about CRP in a few moments, but in regards to producers or landowners that just have CRP enrolled in the program, do they have to initiate the acreage reporting deadline, or is that one done automatic?
No, with the new farm bill, before we had continuous certification, Brian, where they could come in and certify the acres, and that was going to be for the life of the contract. But because we're under a new farm bill right now, that was kicked out. So even CRP producers have to report their acres as well. So here in Weld County, Susan's been doing a great job of notifying the CRP contract holders that they have to report their acres and getting that out to the producers. So, but yeah, everybody's got to report acres, Brian.
You know, so producers better get their calls in or emails in and get that process started so you don't end up passing that late filing fee and have to pay that. Once again, my guest is Farm Service Agency Weld County Executive Director Jeff Rasmussen. The USDA's Farm Service Agency began accepting nominations for county committee members back on June 15th. Explain the importance of county office committees and how they help you guys as CEDs.
That's a good point, Brian. The county committee helps implement the farm bill. For example, you know, we're getting pretty dry, drought conditions. So the county committees help request to be considered a drought-designated county. So that's one of their jobs. Their biggest job is hiring CEDs. They're my boss. So they do the hiring and firing of the CEDs in the counties, Brian. So that's another important job that they do. But getting back to implementing the farm bill, they kind of monitor countywide what's going on, what's needed, livestock programs, stuff like that, Brian. So they have a pretty big responsibility in the county. So speaking of which, nominations are underway right now. We have until August 1st for all counties to submit nominations. So if you know of a good neighbor or something that would be a good county committee member, talk to them, see if they'd be willing to run, and if they are, submit their name and get the proper paperwork to them.
Are there term limits on those positions? And then when will the final election ballots be sent out to eligible voters?
Yeah, there are term limits on this, Brian. You cannot serve more than 9 consecutive years. Each term is 3 years. So the most you'd be able to serve is 3 terms at 3 years apiece. So the maximum is 9 years. The ballots will be mailed out November 2nd to eligible voters, and they'll have to be returned by, I believe it's like December 2nd or December 3rd, Matt Bryan. So,
if folks want to learn more about the FSA County Committee elections, you can go to fsa.usda.gov/elections to do that. Now, Jeff, I want to spend a little more time on the Conservation Reserve Program because numerous submissions have been made, accepted, but await either a conservation plan or signatures, of course, conservation plans from NRCS, or signatures from the participants for a new contract, a new CRP contract to be made up. Can you update the listeners on the process going on right now and the deadline to get those offers and signatures turned in for the contract process to start?
On the general CRP sign-up, Brian, what producers need to get everything back to the county office by August 3rd. It's August 1st, but things that's on a weekend. It goes to the following first workday, which is August 3rd. So CRP people need to get their conservation plans, signed contracts by all parties back to the county office by August 3rd.
Now, speaking of CRP and the situation livestock producers face due to low cattle prices, as well as meat supply chain issues due to COVID-19, not to mention, as you talked about earlier, the ongoing drought. Back on June 5th, U.S. Senators John Thune from South Dakota and Tina Smith from Minnesota, who are members of the Senate Ag Committee, introduced legislation that would allow emergency hanging grazing on CRP acres during the COVID-19 health crisis. Under current statute, emergency CRP hanging grazing is limited to weather-related disaster events. We're now past the July 15th nesting season, which seems to be a critical date when we've done this in the past. But not to put you on the spot, Jeff, but have you heard any word about that legislation or a decision from USDA Secretary Sonny Perdue regarding the emergency hanging and grazing of CRP that could be announced?
We haven't heard anything yet, Brian, but with the drought conditions continuing on, I expect something to be announced in the near future on that, especially now that primary nesting season is over. I think that they'll come out with an announcement here in the near future on that. Like you said, drought continues to grow and conditions don't improve, so they're going to have to do something.
So. Yeah, I think it goes a little beyond the drought situation because there's a lot of backed up cattle and sheep that were not able to be produced through the meat supply chain because of the packer situation. So there's a lot of guys trying to find some place to put those and save their hay costs because a lot of those guys are dry lotting right now and they're looking for pasture. And I don't know, I just thought the COVID-19 situation would maybe speed up the process. I actually asked Secretary Perdue about that when he was in Kingsburg in June at Mark Arnish Farms. And you can check out the live stream webcast for that to find out what his answer was. Now, also on July 9th, the USDA's Farm Service Agency announced the acceptance of more than 1.2 million acres in the Conservation Reserve Program grasslands during the recent sign-up period that began March 16th and into May 15th. The number of acres offered during that sign-up period was 1.9 million acres, over three times the number offered during the last sign-up period in 2016, although the price per acre was a lot less than it was in 2016. Jeff, how many acres were enrolled and accepted in the CRP grasslands program, not only in Colorado, but here in Weld County, if you add those numbers?
Weld County, we roughly had about 14,000 acres that was accepted into the CRP grasslands sign up, Brian.
So. Was that more or less than 16, or do you remember?
I think this is a little bit more than 2016. So as far as sign up and acceptance offers, I feel pretty good about it. I was glad to see that many acres get accepted into it. And unfortunately, we still had acres that were not accepted.
Yeah, it's in that grasslands program, for what I remember when the process was explained to me, that this would entail not just grass, but also CRP that was going to expire. They could also enroll those acres under that, but it was like $6 an acre, but there was some cost share involved for cross fencing and maybe water lines and that type of thing. So sounds like it could be a good thing to have in the toolbox as they go forward. I think the contracts were 15 years too, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Now, keep in mind through the CRP grasslands, farmers and ranchers can protect their grasslands, rangelands, and pastures while retaining the right to conduct common grazing practices like haying, mowing, or harvesting seed from the enrolled land. Timing of some of the activities, though, could be restricted by the primary nesting season versus we talked about earlier in regards to the emergency haying and grazing. Now, another thing I wanted to bring up, back on May 26th, the USDA's Farm Service Agency began taking applications for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, or CFAP, as it's known as short, which provided direct relief to producers who faced price declines and additional marketing costs due to COVID-19. And as of June 4th, Secretary Sonny Perdue announced that more than $545 million in payments to producers who applied for the CFAP were approved. Do you have an update from Weld County's perspective, Jeff, on how much has been distributed thus far through the USDA CFAP program?
Ryan, I haven't taken the time to see what the numbers are. Our biggest goal here in the office is to get those applications processed and approved and try and get that money out the door. So I apologize that I don't have numbers for you today on that. Just with the way we have to conduct business and trying to keep everything rolling, biggest goal is to get those applications approved and money out the door to these producers and farmers and ranchers.
And it seemed like it was more geared toward the livestock sector on the CFAP than it was toward crop, because a lot of the crops were still in the ground.
For the CFAP, it would have been your 2019 crop production. The biggest crop here in Weld County is corn that we paid out on. But predominantly our biggest CFAP applications have been the livestock producers and dairymen.
Is there a CFAP application deadline? And is there any word yet on if possibly more assistance for agriculture due to the COVID-19 situation may be forthcoming that you've heard of?
As far as the deadline go, Brian, producers, farmers, and ranchers have until August 28th to submit the application for CFAP. You know how time goes. Don't wait around. Get those applications filed. You can go to farmers.gov, and it's a website, and it's got the application, some fact sheets, explains the program. And in that, they also have a hotline number that you can call for more information on it. I don't have that number off the top of my head, Brian, but they can do that. So,
in fact, that information was broke to the barn and to listeners when I interviewed Colorado's Farm Service Agency State Executive Director, Clarice Navarro. It's 1-877-508-8364. You can speak directly with a USDA employee who's ready to offer general assistance about the coronavirus food assistance program for producers. It's a recommended first step before a producer engages a team at the FSA County office, like in Weld County's case. They can help you get those questions answered before they come to you guys and say, we're ready to roll. So check that out. And also, complete information and eligibility forms is online, as Jeff mentioned, farmers.gov/CFAP. Now, earlier mentioned the acreage reporting deadline was originally July 15th, extended on the late deadline filing fee to August 15th. But are there any other important deadlines you want to make mention of for producers to put on their calendars? And
Brian, July 15th was also the deadline for the primary nesting period. So producers that need to do contract management on their CRP contracts, they need to get a hold of their local FSA office and get pre-approved or prior approval on their contract management activities. So contact your office on that. Acreage reporting for CRP was also July 15th. That was extended 30 days, like you just mentioned on that, Brian. August 1st is the COC nomination deadline. So if you know of a good committee member that would be willing to serve, they have until August 1st to submit the application on that. August 15th is the hemp acreage reporting deadline. So any producers that are growing hemp, they have until August 15th to submit their acreage reporting for that. And then big one, August 28th is the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, also known as CFAP. That deadline is August 28th. And then September 30th is the last day to update 2020 PLC yields. So got a few deadlines coming up, and they come quicker than what we all think.
This interview was very timely because those deadlines are huge, and folks need to make sure they've got them on their calendars and in their appointment books and in their computers and phones so they don't miss those deadlines. In fact, I think I probably need to make a call and get an appointment set up myself. Now, any other issues or events or final thoughts, Jeff, before I let you go?
We'd just like to thank the Weld County producers for welcoming me. And not only that, but thanks for your patience on the way we're conducting business. It's not business as usual, but we're trying to get through this ordeal the best we can. It's just taken twice as long, twice as much effort to get the same job done as it did earlier. So I appreciate that. And Brian, I appreciate you bringing me on board and welcoming me to the county.
Yeah, I know in normal circumstances, you guys would probably had some roundtable discussions and meet and greet Jeff Rasmussen, as it were. But that just under the situation wasn't able to happen. And hopefully we'll get back to normal sooner rather than later. Thanks to my guest once again, and thanks to all the FSA staff, not only in Weld County, but all the counties in Colorado and across the nation for working on behalf of producers each and every day. We really appreciate you guys as well. Once again, Farm Service Agency Weld County Executive Director Jeff Rasmussen, once again, really appreciate your time. Congratulations once again on your new position, and look forward to visiting with you right here inside the barn anytime you guys want to do so.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.